That's right. It's time for the drive home. With Casey and Blair is not here because it's a comic book movie. I don't know why you expected her to be here. You know that she doesn't like these sorts of things. Although I really did try to have her come to this one. But apparently she's doing something for my birthday, so I can't really complain. But anyway, today is... What, is it August 1st?
August 1st.
Well, August 1st or August 2nd. Oh, yeah, it's just turned August 2nd. And this is the drive home, and we watched The Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm getting into Grayson's car.
Ugh. Yeah, you're right, it does come down.
I want a pet Groot. Can I have a little pet Groot?
I want a pet Rocket.
I want a dog.
Do you want a pet Rocket or do you want a pet Rocket?
Both.
Okay.
I just want a dog.
You want a...
I've never had a dog.
Aww.
That's so sad.
That is sad.
Just give me a dog, I'll be happy.
Well, you'll get one eventually. You can have mine. It's a little older model, but...
I guess a gift certificate that expires quickly.
Yeah. Just gotta use all of her doggy, you know, lives up.
All the doggy lives.
All the doggy lives.
What was your assessment on this case?
This is a very different movie. And it's very hard to put it on a scale because, like, it's just fun. Like, it's not meant to be...
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. It's not meant to be an incredible, like, huge storyline, but the characters were rich enough. The movie's not about the plot, but the characters actually were rich enough. I wish they would have explored them a little bit more.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in 2017.
True. I think they're actually saving a bunch of their stuff for other things, like the...
Peter Quill's dad.
Of course, that's part of it. But, like, I want to know more about Groot. I want to know more about... I felt like for an introduction of the characters, it was a little thin in, like, some of their backgrounds. Like, yes, we get the gist of where Rocket Raccoon came from. Groot is a little thin in terms of, like, we don't really know what his story is. So I think it would have been cool to have a little bit more backstory on the other people. But then again, we did get the gist of what they are and who they are, so...
But you will get more of this as it goes on. This is Marvel's first real foray into the cosmic zone.
Yeah.
This opens up everything.
And the connection with Avengers and all the rest of their
Nova,
IP.
Quasar, Captain Marvel, all this stuff.
Here's the thing, though, and this is one of the things I was worried about with when they go into space, is there's certain things you have to be very delicate about. And I felt like there was...
What are some of those things?
Well, the things pointed out, first of all, that you got to be delicate about is the fact that Marvel sold half their licensing. So Fantastic Four, that entire thing of Skrulls, Galactus, Silver Surfer, all those off the table. Can't be used. That's one of the first.
Well, that doesn't bother me as much. You can work around that because there's plenty of characters you can work in the galaxy.
It would be nice to have Galactus, though. So, I mean, that would be quite honest. Non-Cloud Galactus.
Yeah, no, well. Okay, so what's some of the things I can worry about with them going into the galaxy? Some of the hokiness of it can be... And that's what they did with this movie. There's a lot of really good hokiness, but there was a couple moments of, like... I kind of went, eh. One of the weird moments was when Drax the Destroyer shot Blueface Chick.
Nebula.
Yeah, Nebula. I was like, okay, I'm waiting for her to get blasted. And some of the dialogue and acting, it's really hard to sell some of this stuff. And the exposition I felt was, for when they're trying to explain some of the galaxy stuff, was a little...
The Infinity Stones was pretty cool.
That was a pretty good explanation. Okay, that was handled by somebody who knows how to do exposition. But there's other characters who did exposition where I was like, it's okay. I think some of the introductions when they're actually prisoners, I was, no, actually, I thought some of the exposition there was a little, and some of the stuff when they're dealing with the collectors and dealings, some of the other stuff from Benicio del Toro was like, It was okay.
I kept, this time around, this is my second time now seeing it, this time around I kept looking at everything around there. He had one of the alien warriors from the Avengers, he had one of the elves from Thor 2.
Yeah, he did. I saw that part.
A lot of stuff all in the background there, which was really cool to catch.
Yeah, some of the exposition from Glenn Close, I thought was like, her casting was a little odd. I actually would have preferred her to be like a nobody, rather than Glenn Close. Because I kept on seeing, for some reason, with the style of her hair, I just kept seeing Cruella De Vil. I don't know why.
I agree.
It was a little distracting on her.
To me, I liked her. I mean, for the most part, another paper-thin Marvel villain, Ronan the Accuser, but it worked. I think if you had a really charismatic villain, aka Loki, it would have been too much. I think you need a straight guy.
Yeah, no, because when your characters are so oddball, if your villain is oddball, then it just, yeah, the formula may not work. So yeah, you're probably right on that, where the villain and stuff is a little thin. I was surprised at how they introduced Thanos. It seemed like you have an eternal badass that is Thanos, and he felt like just a chum. That, like, didn't, it felt like he didn't have much power. His introduction, like, in the first Avengers was really cool, I thought. And this one, I was like, for a guy that's supposed to be super powerful, I felt very, like, eh, I don't know. Yeah. Like, in some ways, if that Infinity Gem could have actually defeated Thanos. Which maybe could have, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe they're just trying to spread Thanos out as thin as possible. You see Emperor basically being set up for the part of things.
Yeah. I don't know, the whole Gamora sister revenge thing I thought was a little like, eh.
Who knows, man?
Well, here's the problem that I have, because I don't read the comic books. I'm taking the movie at surface value. Drax's motivation, very similar to Zoe Saldana's character. Who I can't remember her name.
Gamora,
okay. Gamora.
Gamora doesn't want to get away. She doesn't want to go kill Thanos. She just wants to get the heck away.
Yeah, but her turn at the beginning just was so fast, and like, it felt weirdly unmotivated.
From the very beginning, she was trying to get out of there. She saw her moment, was trying to get out of there.
I get it, but her exposition of why she got away, because she's like, I didn't want to be there anymore. Da, 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 da. I don't know. I just felt like that was a little quick. I thought there might have been a better way of actually doing that. Yeah.
Hands up to the guy playing Jackson's tour, though. I thought he did a great job.
I thought the opposite.
Dave Bautista?
Yeah, I thought Bautista was great for Drax. Well, it was originally supposed to be Jason Momoa, the guy that was Khaleesi's husband in Game of Thrones. And he turned it down because he thought he
Drax, I thought some of the performances were misses. But I understand the angle they're going from. He's a very literal character. But it felt like some of the performances they could have gone on a second take, especially when he was first introduced.
I actually liked him. I honestly thought Drax was one of the ones I really liked. Zoe Saldana's Gamora, I thought, you know, try to be badass and then soft in too many times. I thought it was too much of a compliment there.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, there wasn't really much to her. I felt that there was more to Rocket Raccoon and Groot than it was to Gamora. Gamora was, it just felt like, and like I said, I've never read the comic, but just kind of like, oh, a badass assassin chick.
Right.
Yay. That's the richness of this character. You have so many other characters that seem to have, like, a lot more rich backgrounds, that it just seemed a little thin. But then again, this is like, obviously it's the comic books and blah, 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 they have all this, that only so much they can work with, so.
I actually really enjoyed the villains. I thought Ronan the Accuser, that was the best possible thing I could have hoped for, seeing him from Chronicles of the Page. And also Nebula. I thought that I loved the over-the-topness of her. I actually really liked that. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I wasn't impressed with the villains. They were, like, the blue guy, the blue girl, and they were just accessories to the plot, which is fine. For the movie that it was, it wasn't a big deal for me. I like the prison guard stuff. I love the stuff in the prison. The setups there were great. The Groot sacrifice was cool.
Peter Quill definitely was awesome. Star-Lord.
Yeah. No, he did a great job.
Very well done.
And of course, I could watch Rocket Raccoon and Groot for hours. Like, you can just... I loved the quirkiness they brought to everything. It was fun.
It was very cool. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, no, it's a good, fun film. It really is. I'm not... definitely not knocking it. I'm just picking apart the little things in there that I didn't weren't particular about.
Spoiler alert, I said everything else so far, but at the end, Howard the Duck. And there's a backstory to
that,
this one.
That's not spoiler. I don't see that as spoiler.
That doesn't matter anymore.
Because it doesn't affect how...
Well, we can talk spoilers on here. It doesn't matter.
Here's the thing with Howard the Duck. Understand, in the 70s, Disney sued Marvel because Howard the Duck looked too much like Donald Duck, and they thought it was infringement of character rights. And so, they had to totally change the outlook of the character. And they still kept it around, but they had to do it with this whole different redesign and everything else. Well, Marvel also sold some part of the rights of Howard the Duck to Lucasfilm. So basically, Howard the Duck was owned by partially Lucasfilm, partially Marvel Comics. And then they also had to make sure they didn't infringe on Disney rights. So you had three separate companies. So when Disney purchased Marvel for $4 billion, purchased Lucasfilm for $4 billion, and the fact that they're Disney, basically made it possible for this $8 billion character in the making to come to the screen for a few moments in Howard the Duck.
That kind of makes sense then, why that they put that there at the end.
Because it's just, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's there.
Yeah, it seemed like I thought they were going to set up something more with the Collector or Ultron or something. The fact that they didn't, the movie is not meant to be taken serious, so it's kind of hard to see what they were trying to do there at the end. So that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And then Cosmos, the dog, the Russian dog.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. So, it'd be dead by now, but yeah.
Not with the Collector. Remember, the Collector suspends animation.
But the dog was moved. But anyway. What'd you think, Grace? Your comments.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay.
This is basically the setup for the end of Phase 2 for Marvel. It's because the Phase 2 ends with Avengers 2 next summer. And this is the second, this is the last film before that comes out.
Yeah.
And
really? Interesting.
Yeah. And then Phase 2 of the Marvel plan goes over. Phase 2 leads up to Ultron. Phase 3 is Thanos, the Infinity Gauntlet, the whole shebang, which combines Avengers with the Galaxy.
Yeah, I'm really worried about that because...
Oh, that's going to be a lot of characters.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I'm getting at. The further out you go into the galaxy with the stories, it's going to be hard. I think one of the reasons why this one worked is because you started in space. When you have the Avengers, it's Earth-based. So it's kind of like, it'd be interesting to see, most likely what will end up happening, just as a foreshadowing for that phase, is that they will let the people of space handle the storylines in space, and they'll have the Avengers handle the storylines on Earth. I don't know how many Avengers will go into space. Maybe I'm predicting Iron Man might be the only one there.
Thor.
You think? Oh, and Thor. Yeah, Thor. So I think they'll keep the bulk of their Avengers here at the here on Earth, but I don't know.
Remember, Marvel's also going to try and introduce a female superhero. They really want to get on the girls' crowd, so Captain Marvel, the female version, may come into play.
That's a stupid character.
Well, it's a lot of comic books.
I don't care.
Well, that's where they test it. It's like a free testing ground. How does the audience like it? Oh, good.
That seems to be their weakest link in all these chains, is their female characters. There's no female characters in these movies that are decent. Black Widow's okay, but even then, like, she's a sexy spy.
Also understand Doctor Strange. There's another one that's going to go into space.
Doctor Strange isn't a chick.
No, I'm just talking about, you were talking about characters going into space.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is going to pull that infinity. And I like, you got all the color codes. You know, you got the purple, you got the blue, you got the red.
What was the purple gem again?
Purple gem, wasn't it the power? No. Purple gem was the,
It's not the mind gem. That's the only one I know it wasn't, because that's the one that was, I think, in Loki's staff. That's why he was able to control people's minds. But anyway, so, yeah, like that's one of Blair's complaints about these films is like the female leads, and actually that's why I kind of watched Zoe Saldana's character more, Gamora, in this film, I think, more than and I think I held her in a harsher standard because I took a look at a perspective of how strong is this female lead. Like, just analyzing her a little bit more than normal, just for that idea of, is this a strong female character that I will be sympathetic to an audience? And I don't know, it seems like there's so many men that there's very little women in all of this.
For comic books. I hate to say it. You're talking years of stuff being already set up. That's just how it is.
The funny thing about that...
just a couple quick notes real quick. I thought a couple cool parts. One, when the ship crashed, the huge layout where you see the whole city, sky, sea. I kind of thought that was really kind of interesting to gain perspective on how much damage that ship did when it came down. I never really see that in movies.
It's it did have a lot of devastation.
But that really far back shot was really cool. And also, the Celestial head, come on, that was cool.
Oh, yeah, that was neat. I did like that idea. Very interesting. Why did the villain want to destroy that place again?
Because they've been warring with the Xandar for over 100 years.
Blah, blah, blah. Trade federations blocking routes.
No, his dad was killed. His grandfather was killed in the war. His great-grandfather, they've been at war forever, and they just declared peace, and he wasn't ready. He wanted a victory. Period.
Well... That was hard to pick up. It really was.
I still think Marvel got a pretty good formula on this one. I mean, I would have never thought it would be as good as it was. Never.
It also is weird that why has this Infinity Gem been in this abandoned city for so long and no one discovered it, and then everybody wants it all at once? That was very convenient. Like, if there had been some, like, transmission or something that was intercepted or they did some better backstory there, it was just like, oh, hey, here's the... And I love how they addressed it. Oh, here's the Maltese
really
Falcon.
Leave a lot to it, I'm going to tell you. All right, that was fun. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks for going.
Thank you for taking me.
You'll owe me for tickets later.
I will get you. Thank you.
Okay, back.
I'll bring you 2 tickets tomorrow.
Oh, he's just being weird. Anything else? Is there anything that you did not like?
Yeah.
What would that be? You can vent. It's cool.
No, I just don't want... I don't want to be on the podcast thing.
You don't want to... okay.
Yeah.
All right. I enjoy... I enjoy it. I really do. And in a lot of ways... one of the reasons why I do it is to deconstruct story, find the things that don't work and why they don't work, and try and figure out ways of making them do work.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one plot point back there where it was like, oh, okay, well, why did they come to this one place at the same time? If somebody discovered it and it was intercepted, that makes sense. But it's also a very convenient time period because it's like, oh, the war, they just had a treaty, and this guy doesn't want to give up. And coincidentally, right now is the time when he goes to get the most powerful gem in the world. He didn't know what it was for, yes, but it was just a little convenient in there.
I can see that.
What else? Rocket Raccoon was amazing. He really was. I wanted to see him... one of the weird things is I really love that they gave him, like, a bloody eye at the end. Like, it was a small detail, but they actually, like, everyone else was beat up, and it was like, that's a real injury. Let's see here. Oh, the little tiny Groot was so cute. Oh, I wanted one of those things. It's just...
Dance around.
Yeah. It was fun. Something that I really wanted him to do and I don't even know if this is in the comics, but it seems like it's a thing that would be kind of neat to see, is whenever he's actually on a planet that has soil, he roots himself down and just, like, feels the earth, and, like, because he's a tree in space, for Pete's sakes. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to, like, oh, hey, I'm back on Earth. I'm back on a planet where there's soil, and I can absorb things, because, you know, he's a tree. it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
What else? Let's see here. I really like the web thing that they did with the spaceships. I thought that was a really cool concept. Where it's like, oh, this is interesting. But it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, they have to get to the surface of the planet. Why is it taking so long for one person to get? Why didn't he just take one ship and just go down the planet? They would never have been able to stop him. No, let's have the ship go 1 mile an hour through the atmosphere, where all he has to do is just touch the Earth. Well, they've already proven that they have fighters. Why don't they just have one fighter go to the Earth? I mean, apparently he can't get killed by any rockets or anything, so why not just jump down and go, oh, Earth, done. So it's fun, it's a hokey movie, and it was definitely, definitely enjoyable. I really had a good time. It's just little things like that, I'm just like, it's hard to ignore, but at the same time, you have to suspend some sort of disbelief, and, you know, because it's a movie, I understand. But I think there could have been better ways of handling those sorts of, like, suspense and tension, because if it doesn't feel true, like, a true tension there, like, oh, yeah, like, why can't he just do this, then it's not, it loses a little bit of power. That's just my perspective. If they would have made it, like, concise, where he couldn't leave the ship because the web was around it, because it seemed like it was only half the ship was even covered, but it's like, oh, your ship can't go in reverse? Whatever. Anyway, this has been The Drive Home with Casey, Jeremy, and, like, two lines of Grayson.
Yeah.
That's cool. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.